Alrighty, well, let's get ready for this morning's message.
Ready.
Okay, it means I can go a long time. Well, if you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12 with me. 1 Corinthians 12, if you don't have one with you, you can find one within arm's reach somewhere, I'm sure. 1 Corinthians 12.
You should feel good if you start to know right where that is.
Or you get lucky and you open right up to it. This morning's message is going to be about discernment, which is also known or read as distinguishing of spirits. Sounds a little spooky, maybe. Discernment. You know, every week I have to pray and just kind of get God's heart for whatever message he wants us to hear. And discernment is one of those where it's a skill, a spiritual gift, something we appreciate, we see, we know it when we see it. And those of us who have that gift really count on it. And those who would like to have it or like to have more of it, you're probably constantly asking God, you know, give me some discernment. Give me some discernment on this matter. I hope to, as we go through the message, not only explain why it's so important, but also give you some direction on how to recognize it, maybe how to grow in your discernment, how to distinguish it from other spiritual gifts. By way of introduction, a couple of questions. Have you ever had a conversation with another believer that caused you unrest in your spirit, a little anxiety in your spirit? Maybe it was when you started hearing about a relationship or a lifestyle, or maybe a new philosophy or perspective of theirs, and it just kind of gave you a sick feeling in your gut. Did you consider that internal response might be an indication that you were being critical? I think we're all worried about being critical and judgmental of others. Or maybe, am I being intolerant towards my brother or sister in Christ? Or could it be that you have a spirit of discernment? Maybe that's the case, and maybe tomorrow, this morning, you'll recognize that in yourself when you feel it coming on. So we're there in 1 Corinthians 12. Let's begin to read with verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another, the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, the effecting of miracles. And to another, prophecy. And to another, the distinguishing of spirits. Your translation might say discernment, one and the same. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and we are all made to drink of the one Spirit. So, distinguishing of spirits, discernment. What's the definition of that? A simple, short definition of that is to be able to clearly distinguish truth from error by judging whether the behavior or the teaching is from God, Satan, human error, or even human power. It's a spiritual gift given to the believer, those who are spiritually born again. It's given by the Spirit to be used for the body. That's what it means when it says common good. It's used to judge or evaluate whether something is true and of the Lord or another spirit. It's often used with the gifts, other gifts, in particular words of wisdom, or simply wisdom obtained. Once discerned, what is the wise course of action? And discernment is unique from wisdom. They are two separate gifts, but as with many gifts, they work together, can work together. Can be working in the same one person or a couple people. And that's why what Scripture says is the Spirit gives us those gifts as He will. So He chooses which gifts we should have, when we should have them, and it's up to us to pay attention, recognize, and use them. And to use them in cooperation with other gifts, other people, for the common good. And that's what's happening here in our one another time. That's why we take the time out in the service, for us to build one another up, to edify one another. Because the goal here as a church body is that we would be matured as one person in Christ, in one accord. This discernment does not involve a mystical or extra-biblical revelations. And that's where we have to be careful. The spiritually discerning are so familiar with the Word of God that they instantly recognize what is contrary to it. They use the Word of God to test the spirits, to see which line up with God and which are in opposition to Him. So, word of wisdom, another spiritual gift, a real short, simple definition is that it's the divine enablement to speak practical wisdom to others. We recognize that when we hear it and see it, don't we? We have questions, and, you know, we either, God just puts us in that divine moment to talk to somebody that happens to be next to us for that question, or maybe we seek out somebody that we know usually has good wisdom. We recognize it. We know it when we see it. So we've been given spiritual gifts. We now know what they are for, but we are to use our spiritual gifts, and we're to use them in the church for the church. If we're not showing up at church using our spiritual gifts, that could be sin. We are not using something God has given to us from His sovereign power with a plan, with a purpose for each one of us when we have that gift. There's a purpose for it to be used. It isn't to take pride in yourself. Oh, wow, I got this gift or that gift. It's to use it for other people. This church is the one another place. That's kind of the core of what we're doing. There's a workbook, a course we have that we've done in the past, and it's called Using Your Spiritual Gifts. How do we serve, equip to serve, and engage in serving? There's more of these workbooks up on the shelf if you have a desire to study this. But I want to read, this is just an awesome teaching, an awesome course. The author defines, and it's Eddie Rusnacki, I think I pronounced that right. Distinguishing of spirits means to discern, to to distinguish, to pass judgment. In the Greek, the word is hermeneutics. If you've studied the Bible, you've heard that word, you've come across that word before, and you use it all the time in your conversation, right? Well, maybe not. In the early church, as today, Satan sometimes, get this, sometimes Satan imitates the works of God. Not every miracle is of God. Not every prophecy is of God. Not every tongue is of God, and not every teaching is of God. There are evil spirits working in the world today. We know that, right? We accept that. This gift, distinguishing of spirits, is for discerning if a work is of God or not. This is an important gift. It was more necessary before the completion of the scriptures, but it's still needed today. In fact, I would say, shame on you, Eddie, you should say, it's needed more today. Of course, he wrote the book a while ago. Words of wisdom. The word wisdom is the divine enablement to speak practical wisdom to others. It does not refer to intellectual wisdom, but always to practical wisdom. And is accompanied by the ability to live wisely. People with this gift are to give practical insight into the ways and will of God. They are able to shed light on decisions that were dark and confusing. A biblical example of this gift is James at the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15. That was that time when they brought an issue before the church in Jerusalem, and it was about the church, whether they should comply or conform to the Mosaic law and circumcision and foods and things, and the church talked, and then finally James and another one of the leaders said, well, this is what we're going to take back to the church. Just don't do this. And so it's practical wisdom applied. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians now. You should be in 1 Corinthians. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 13 to 14. I don't think this is going to be any new surprise to anyone, but maybe soak up this scripture in the context of today's message. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 and 14. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as an apostle of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to the deeds. So, if you've never really thought about this, consider Satan, or one of his demons, the spirits, can come to us and present themselves as either God or an angel or something holy and righteous, but inside it's not. The message is twisted. Remember when Eve was in the garden and the serpent came to her and he spoke the words of God, well, very close to the words of God, just a little bit off. And it deceived thee. So this is important to recognize. This is foundational to recognize that Satan can masquerade as an angel of light. So just because we see or experience an angel or light, we still have to discern it to see where it's coming from. And again, that's what we hope to do through today's message. This spirit, this spiritual gift, discernment, distinguishing of spirits, is necessary for the church. It's necessary. It's critical. The church has to have it. Some people in the church have to have the spiritual gift of discernment. And God will make sure that happens. This spiritual gift of discernment is not a parlor trick. It's not an orchestrated show making the audience believe this performer is somehow so spiritual and so spiritually gifted, and they have a special connection unique to them into the spiritual realm. This gift is often misused with false prophesying or claiming a special anointing from God, a special knowledge from God. This discernment does not involve those mystical extra-biblical revelations. So when we are hearing from someone and they start out in the Bible, and then they say, oh, and outside the Bible, there's this. And then they start talking about that, and they pull all of the conversation, the teaching over to that. The discernment bell ought to go off. In the church, we have new believers and we have mature believers. And we all start out as new believers, and we learn and we grow, we become more spiritually mature, and then at some point
we get old.
Okay, get old and die. At some point, you've trained your senses, you've trained yourself to be able to recognize good and evil. You've read the Bible enough. You may not be able to quote every single verse in Scripture in it, but when you hear something that purports to be part of the Bible, something goes off, and you say, ah, that doesn't strike me right. And then you start digging and you find it. I've said multiple times this morning that this gift is to be used in the church, for the common good, right? And maybe some of you have already gotten ahead of me a little bit and questioned, well, wait a minute. Can't those gifts be used outside the church? I mean, there's a lot of lost and dying people out there. You know, shouldn't they be able to experience the gift, or shouldn't I be able to use my gift outside there for the benefit of God? But I don't see that in Scripture. What I do see is there are certain gifts that will be present in us, and we will use them when we're not at church. Maybe discernment's one of them. And we will pick up that information and we bring it back to the church. It's something that's in us, something we've learned, something we've observed or discerned, and we share it with the church to edify the church. So that as a body, we are becoming matured and we are drawing people in and we're doing what God calls us to do with His amazing grace. Now, this makes sense, or I'm going to tell you it makes sense, because you might not agree with me yet. This makes sense when you consider that most of the people in the world are not born again. Or at the very least, they're struggling with a stronghold, a spiritual stronghold. You know, we Christians can suffer from spiritual strongholds. Satan cannot possess us, but he can control us and poke our buttons through spiritual strongholds that we have not renounced, that we have not gotten out of our life. Consider that what I'm saying makes sense, because if discernment is the distinguishing of spirits, if we're outside the church, if we're out in the world, and we're trying to use our gifts with people that aren't saved, that's the opposite spirit. It is not the Spirit of God in us. You don't have the Spirit of God in you until you're born again. So there's this problem of understanding and communication and receiving, and that's why I think God wants us to use it within the church. Don't confuse this spiritual gift of discernment with a secular discernment. You know, a secular discernment that's built upon basic wisdom of the world or common wisdom of the world. Because secular wisdom, while it might sound practical and sound wise, it can be unreliable because it's built on the wrong authority of truth.
Fake news.
What?
Fake news.
Fake news, yes. So, spiritual discernment is necessary for the church because we just read in 1 Corinthians how we are to prophesy, and it says that we must test any prophecy. How are we going to test it if we don't have discernment, if we can't distinguish the spirit behind the message? So it's necessary for the church. It's really important today, I think, maybe more so than in Old Testament times. And follow me on my thinking here. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. You should be in 2 Corinthians. Go to the right four or five books. You should have 2 Timothy. And we're going to read chapter 3. Are you there?
Amen.
2 Timothy 3. Okay, we're going to read through the whole chapter, not that long. This is Paul writing to Timothy, and he's instructing Timothy on a lot of things within the church life. And one of them that he comes into right now is that there will be difficult times ahead. And this is something that must happen, will happen, and I would dare say it is happening before Jesus returns, before the end times. And this one, the first part of this is about the peril of apostasy. Verse 1, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, lovers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited. Anybody run into any of these yet?
Yeah, a couple of them.
Let's not gossip the names now.
Couple dozen.
Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and they captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning, and yet never able to come to the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was also. Just a quick note. Those two people, those two men, they were back when Moses was supposed to be doing some signs for God to answer Pharaoh's questions. And they were opposing him. And you can read about them in Exodus. It just kind of brushes over them. You may not even catch their names. But it was mentioned twice here, so I thought I'd bring that up to you. Okay, now we're going to continue with verse 10. This is the second part of this message. This is we've read about the peril of apostasy that will come with difficult times in the last days. I dare say it's here now. We are experiencing it now. Every one of us are experiencing these times and these peoples and these messages. We have seen apostasy happen this year. Well, 2020. Have we not? Everybody was told, close your church down, don't go to church. And everybody said, okay, fine. I'm broad brushing, generalizing. But we know this is going to come. Scripture says it's going to come. So how do we protect ourselves from this? Verse 10. Now, you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Can I get a hallelujah? We love that, don't we? 13. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse. Catch that? I mean, they're not going to be corrected and cleaned up and, you know, brushed up. No, they're going to go from bad to worse. We have to expect that.
Not going to be held accountable.
They're deceiving and being deceived. So deceivers are first deceived, right? 14. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And a memory verse, life memory verse, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So one lesson we ought to be picking up out of this message so far is we need to be studying our Bible so that we know what truth looks like. We know what it feels like, so when we hear something coming at us, we have something to judge it by, something to measure it by, something to evaluate it by. All right. Let's kind of roll downhill towards the end of the message here. Let's look at who has this gift of discernment. Who has the gift? It's not just women. I say that because, you know, if you go searching for a study on discernment, you know, all the articles I'm reading are all written by women. And so I have to say that because you may come up away with that impression. But let me say this. If the leaders in the church do not have discernment, if the men in the church do not have discernment, look out. That church is headed for trouble. To have discernment, the mind, the heart must first be enlightened by divine teaching before it can discern the things of the Spirit. So, again, to have discernment, to have a spiritual gift, you must be born again. And from there, as we've seen, it's a gift given by the Holy Spirit to whom He will. What are some examples? There's tons of examples in Scripture, but I want to look at just a couple that you're no doubt familiar with. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to look at an example by Jesus. Matthew 16. Begin with verse 13. Are you there? Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, He was asking His disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, well, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. This is the same Peter that had abandoned Christ and was restored, and he is answering, he's discerning the right message to Jesus' question. And it was given to him in a spiritual way, right? He had a spiritual heart. The Holy Spirit gave it to him. And this is the same Peter that was trying to hold Jesus back. And remember, Jesus said, well, looking at Peter, get behind me, Satan. And we're thinking, what? I mean, this is Peter, the one that he restored, the one who was going to build the church upon. And he's saying, get behind me, Satan. So you see, Jesus had discernment of what spirit was speaking against God's will. Another simple example, turn to the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts.
Well, that whole thing's frightening.
Yeah.
Because, wow, that's...
Why is it frightening? Come on, say it.
Well, because, I mean, we never know, I don't want to be taking my turn at being that kind of a Peter.
Yeah, but, you know, Jesus rebuked the spirit, and it's gone. We have to be careful. Remember I said angel, or Satan can masquerade as an angel of light? So we need to listen to everything critical. If I say something, you need to criticize it. You need to weigh it. You need to measure it to make sure it's of God.
Oh, don't worry. Listen to us at lunch. No.
All right. Are you in Acts 16, verses 16 through 18?
Yeah.
It happened as they were going to a place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. Sounds perfect, doesn't it? I mean, is what was happening? It sounds like, right, it sounds like it should be a message from God. 18. She continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed, and he turned and he said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And it came out of her at the very moment. That's discernment in action. That's distinguishing of spirits in action. He knew, he spiritually discerned that was an evil spirit speaking through that girl, because that girl was involved in divination, a work of the devil. So, you know, discernment's pretty heavy.
Yeah, I mean, if we believe that we got that discernment from the Holy Spirit and said that to somebody these days, we'd probably end up having a doc.
Yeah. Okay, so what is the standard of distinguishing between spirits? Turn with me to 1 John. It's just towards the end, just before you get to Revelation. 1 John. First John, we're going to read in chapter 4. Are you there, 1 John 4?
Yeah. If I brought up testing the spirits to the Waterville guys, they'd be wondering about testing Jack Daniels opposed to Crown Royal.
Yeah. Sounds like you had a good message for next week. and it's brewing already.
Oh, man, good one.
1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we test the spirits. We discern the spirit behind the message. And, you know, he's not saying, go ask the spirit, hey, do you confess Jesus? It's a little deeper than that. First of all, we shouldn't be going talking to spirits anyway. Could put yourself in trouble there. But confessing Jesus, in other words, the speaker, the message, the situation needs to confess both the humanity of Jesus and the deity of Jesus. It's fascinating how if you break down every teaching and doctrines with that barometer, how it sorts things out pretty quick for you. Because so many religions say, yeah, he was a good prophet, but he wasn't God. Or yeah, he was a good man. He was created. No, God's not a created. He's not a created being. So you see how that just brushes across a huge doctrine. So, let me try to put this in practical terms for us. Discernment. Here's how you use the gift of discernment. First, you hear or see. Then you pause and you listen. You listen. They've already spoke the words out. But you listen. In other words, you try to soak in. What did I hear? What was said? What did I see? What did I observe? You hear. You listen. Then you evaluate it with known truth. Okay? You measure it against the Word of God. Known truth. And then you evaluate what the Spirit, you evaluate what Spirit is driving that statement. And then while evaluating it, you seek confirmation from the Holy Spirit. Have you done that before? You prayed and you heard God speaking to you, sensed Him, you felt Him speaking to you. And you know that any wisdom from heaven is first pure, and it's wise, and it's loving. And you also know what Satan's voice sounds like. It brings anxiety to you. There's no peace. There's argument, contention. This gift of discernment, like any gift of the Spirit, does not come fully mature, 100% developed. We receive a gift, and we also have to develop it within us. We have to develop and learn how we use it, learn it about it. We've got to learn the Word of God more, all of those things. So, discernment, like any gift, will start out, and it'll grow from there. It'll mature from there. All right, so I want to finish up with one last scripture. Turn back to 1 Corinthians. We're in 1 John, the left of a handful of books, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2. First Corinthians 2, verse 10. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit searches all things. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. Wow, that's kind of deep. 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom. See the difference between the secular discernment and spiritual discernment? But in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thought with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. So this is why I'm confidently saying, if we don't go out using our spiritual gifts with carnal people, people that are not born again, they're not going to understand it. They're going to think it's foolish. They may not say it to your face, but their spirit in them is going to be saying it. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So, we ask the question, who has this gift of discernment? There's the gift of discernment, but then there's also spiritual discernment that all believers should have. We should all be growing in the measure of discernment. So each of us will have certain characteristics of all the spiritual gifts, but some of us will excel in particular gifts. And it's the same with discernment.
I think you can get taught discernment too. I remember a teacher.
You can learn.
You know, that said, sort of secular because you can't say what would Jesus do in every class, but you know, she'll say, you know, stop and think about what you're doing and or what somebody else is doing and see how that.
But what I'm saying is you do that.
Right.
But then you have to go the next step. Okay,
right.
Now I have to measure against the Word of God. And every time you do that, you get better at it.
Mm-hmm. You know, last couple weeks ago, I bought some tooling from a guy who loves God. Okay, no questions asked. He's kind of a high-eye, kind of a exuberant kind of a person, and but still gets it done and everything. And so, I don't know, we were talking about different things, and he was like, oh, Joe, he goes, God's going to bless you, and this tool is going to just put you out in the front there, and, you know, you're headed to a better heaven on earth. Okay? And there is a whole thing out there that believes that we're progressing to heaven on earth. It's a cult teaching, and it's not right. And so, all I know is that now I know this about this guy. And I don't know what that affects in anything else, but I guarantee you I'm not going to go to him for advice on different things scripturally, because he's really off base on something that's really key. And I could go to scripture and think of a number of scriptures that totally counteract what he was saying. So.
So we have to use discernment. All of you can and will and should use discernment and grow in discernment. Let's go ahead and gather around and pray for one another.
It's all good today.